Blog Talk Radio.
You wanna be real. You wanna be empty inside. You wanna be someone. Laying down your pride. You wanna be someone someday. Lay it all down before the king. Yeah, you wanna be whole. You wanna have purpose inside. You wanna have virtue and purify your mind. You wanna be set free today. Lay it all down before the king. Oh yeah, this is my desire. This is my return. This is my desire to be used by you. You wanna be real. You wanna be empty. And I know my heart is to feel you near. And I know my life is to do your will. Is to do your will. This is my desire.
Talking about building your spirit man. Building your spirit man. And that's expanding, you know, your spirit within you. You know, a lot of times our spirit is within us, but we don't really use it. It's just there. And we're going to be talking a little bit more in depth about that today. And we didn't have a guest this week. We're going to probably slow down guests a little bit. We're going to do more teaching on Saturdays. And try to get the word of God out here a little bit more, and about different topics, about, you know, praying, about, you know, like this and here, building your spirit man, just different things. And It's going to be basically about how to walk in the power of God, what to do, just different things like that that a normal person don't really know about doing, that a lot of people who walks in this ability knows, but there's a lot of people that don't walk in this type of power and they don't really understand it. And the more you understand it, the more you can, because if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you have the same thing that we all have. And that's basically the main thing. If you got Christ in you, you got the Holy Spirit, and you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you can do this too. A lot of people just don't understand this. But today we're going to be talking about building your spirit, man. And Chris, what do you know about building your spirit, man?
Sorry about that, man. It's over the last week or so, I've been really kind of focused on that topic, just growing in the spirit. And it's kind of interesting, some of the things that the Lord's been showing me. You know, we all have a lot of questions about life and the life of God and stuff like that. And I believe his desire is for us to grow in. Well, let me just read the scripture, because that's probably the best way to this verse right here. It's 2 Peter 1, 2 Peter 1, 4 through, okay, let me just read it. It says, "Grace and peace to you multiplied unto you through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to the glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, and to your knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, and patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity." So I just believe that scripture right there is teaching that it's going after him in the word, and there's responsibility there. And it's through the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great power. So there's grace involved there. And he's blessing what you're doing for him and going after him. You know, and that's, to me, that just, it's just very profitable to go after him. But there's another thought kind of lingering in my mind right now. It's this scripture right here. It's Romans 7. It says, "For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came in, sin revived and I died." And I believe what that scripture right there is saying, like how you're, when you're born, that you're as a baby and stuff like that. Everybody's heard that, you know, out of the mouths of babes, the Lord will speak out of the mouths of babes. And I believe that's because that sin, or that the law was, they're alive to that law, and they're alive to God. But you know, and I've heard a lot of ministers say that the other way, that we're born into this corrupt nature and stuff like that. But if you read this verse, it really says differently, you know. And but when it says that when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. So, and if you go on reading that in Romans 7, it talks about like you being shaped by the word, and the word kind of drawing you to the Savior. And it shows the importance of the word to kind of prune you, yeah, and show you your importance.
Yeah, I know, that, you know, Apostle Paul, he was very, very wise, and he was very, very, his spirit was very advanced. And when he would walk around in the streets, you know, people would get healed just by by his shadow. He'd get healed just by hanging around him. And one of his keys in growing his spirit man and bringing his spirit man out, a lot of times our spirit, they say our spirit man is held in our belly, but it stays there. And a lot of times when we pray, we draw out of that point to pray to heal people. Like they say, if you want the anointing, saying biblically, it says if you want the anointing to work, the Holy Spirit to work, to lay hands on people, to lay hands and pray, and you'll pull it out of you. Just lay hands and start praying for people. You'll bring it out of you. And I've noticed that myself, that it does work. But one thing that Paul did say, that he said he did more than anybody, he prayed in tongues more than anybody. He prayed in tongues more than anybody. And I did a lot of research on this, and a lot of the information I got was saying praying and singing in tongues, or just singing and praying in tongues, that helps build your spirit, man, because you bring the atmosphere and the language of your spirit out. And instead of keeping it inside, you're bringing it out. And the more you bring it out of you, the more that it starts transforming your body, it starts transforming your mind, it starts transforming you to where you need to be. And I think a lot of times, a lot of our problems is that we don't really look at our spirit for anything, you know. And we just know it's there, and you might pray for a few people, and that's it. I know in 1 Corinthians 14:6, it says, "For if I pray in tongues, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." 15, what is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understandings. I will sing with the spirit. I will also sing with the understandings. Jude 20:21. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So Jude 20:21 says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, what that's saying is praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues. And that's one of the most important things I think a Christian needs to have activated is praying in tongues. That's one of the most important gifts that I know that can really get a lot of things done. I mean, I've used tongues a lot for, you know, when I'm into a prayer session, and nothing's really budging. It's like a stronghold on this person. I start praying in tongues. I'll go straight to tongues. Let the Holy Spirit switch into his language, and all of a sudden you start seeing things break off. The things that you was praying against, you don't see no budging. But when the Holy Spirit starts praying and starts his conversation with God, you start seeing things break off. And I think that's one backdrop that we have to fall on is praying in tongues. That's one gift I really feel that we all need to get advanced in. We need to do it a lot. And I have noticed that a lot of Christians, when they're praying in tongues, they feel better. It lifts things off. And I was watching Sid Roth the other day. He's been doing these little YouTube bits on Facebook. And he was talking about that he was suffering with something going on with him, and somebody that could see into the spirit was looking at him. And when he starts praying in tongues, and demons start flying off of him, they couldn't stand to hear it. The enemy can't stand tongues. That's why they can't. It won't mess with your prayers when you're praying in tongues, because they can't stand the atmosphere of tongues. That's one of the main things. And the first thing that the enemy will do, he will try to get you not to speak in tongues. He will use anything and everything against you to quit you from doing that. Well, I ain't the right language. Oh, you ain't doing this. You ain't doing that. No matter what you have, if you picked up that gift, keep it up. Keep it up. Don't use it as a mantle on your shirt. As a highly Christian, you got to use that as a gift. Use it as a tool. That's a tool that you need to constantly use, because that will build your spirit, man, quite a bit. As Apostle Paul said, that's one of the main things that he did. He did more than any Christian that he knew, it was pray in tongues. And as we know, is what Paul did. You know, when he would walk around and pray, he would pray for people and things would happen, and he wouldn't have to pray. He'd walk around people and they'd get healed. That's because his spirit, man, was so advanced and so brought out of him. He wasn't only holding it in. He was pulling it out of him. he was pulling it out of him. And when you really realize who you are in Christ, that actually helps build your spirit man too, because you start understanding who you are. A lot of people don't know who they are in Christ. They've heard so many different religious things about they're this and they're that and that, and a lot of times their identity is thrown into the garbage can, and they just don't know who they are. They're confused, and when they're confused, your identity don't mean nothing. An enemy don't want you to know your identity, because if you know your identity, you can defeat him. So that's one of the biggest things. One thing, you know, with us being adopted sons and daughters of God, we've got to know who we are, we've got to know who our daddy is, and we've got to know what abilities we have, which is the same abilities that Christ had. And even Jesus said we'd even have more abilities than he did. We could do more than he did. But the first point we've got to get across is that we can do what he did. We can walk in the abilities that he has. But the one of the biggest things that I have found myself is to stay in communication with the Lord, like Chris was talking about. You know, stay in communication with the Lord. Pray to him. Talk to him. Build that friendship. I build your spirit, man. The more you stay in contact with him, it ain't that he's coming to you. It's that you're coming to him. You're bringing yourself to him. If you have a thought in your mind of Christ, and no matter what he looks like to you, I mean, he may look with blonde hair, brown hair. I don't know what his figure is to you. We really don't know. We don't really have an idea, but we really don't know. But God knows who you're talking about. When you have your image of Christ in your mind, he knows who you're talking about. So when you're thinking about Jesus and you're praying to him, that brings you close to him. He knows that you're there. And I know back many years ago, I had this thing with I had to use Yeshua. And Yeshua is his Jewish name, and it's all cool. And I couldn't say Jesus anymore. I had to say Yeshua. I thought, man, I have to use a real thing. He ain't really going to understand what I'm saying. And one day I was walking down through my bedroom, and there's something came on TV real loud. Said, I know my name, I know my name, I know my name. And all of a sudden Jesus was telling me, I know my name. You don't have to worry about how you use it. I know who you're talking about. I know you're talking about me. You say, Jesus, I know you're talking about me. So it doesn't matter what special name you have. I mean, you call him Jesus, that's an American name for Jesus. Call him Yeshua, he knows who you're talking about. And he will come to that. So you say Jesus, he'll come. You say Yeshua, he'll come. But he knows who you're talking about. And that's one of the biggest things. We put so many different mantles up. You know, hey, I've got to do the hokey pokey and turn around before I pray. Oh, I've got to do this. I've got to get all my prayer cloths. I've got to get my one certain Bible. I've got to read this one verse before I do it. We don't got to do that. Just talk to him. And I'm sure when Jesus went up on the mount and he went in prayer time with the Lord, he didn't go up there and go through his ritual. He just talked to the Father as it was his Father. I mean, when you go to your dad, your physical dad, and you speak to him, you go and bow down and kiss his feet and then say, Father, I want keys to the car. No, you don't. You go up to your Father and you talk to him. You talk to him with wisdom. You just talk to him just to have a conversation with him. I really believe God, you know, Lord Jesus, you know, the Father, that they want you to do the same thing with them. They want you to have spend some time with them. They want, and the more you spend time with them, the more you'll start noticing. We had Daniel Bryant on the show not too long ago, and he said he started building his relationship up with the Holy Spirit. And he said the first thing that he would go outside and start raking leaves. And when he would rake leaves, he would act like the Holy Spirit was there. And all this has to do with building your spirit, man, because anytime you're talking to the Holy Spirit in Christ, you're building that up. You're building that up. Anytime you're in their presence, it builds that up. But anyway, he said he would just talk to – go ahead, Chris.
I just wanted to kind of interject right there because the importance of growing in the Lord, even some of the stuff you're saying is so good, man, like growing in the Spirit, speaking in tongues and stuff like that. But if you're not there yet, you know, how do you get there? And I want to read this scripture. It says, I beseech you, brethren. It's Romans 12:1. It says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So that right there is saying, you know, as you present yourself unto God, and like those things, praying, communication to God, those are incredibly important. But I really believe that, you know, if we partake of the word, I believe that I see error on both sides, like people that you know, don't give any place to the Spirit of God. And then they get in the era and it's like dry. And I mean, it's like crazy. They're in the ditch on one side, but it's almost like they get in the word, but they have no interaction with the Lord or something like that. You need God to fulfill the word and to be able to walk in the middle of the road. And you're constantly getting guidance as you stay in him and you communicate with him. But I really believe that the Bible has been ordained of the Lord to keep us from going too far out there. And I mean, like some of the spiritual things will get like just super crazy. But, I really believe that a lot of religions have started because of people, you know, thinking, being deceived in the realm of the spirit. And I mean, there's a lot of them when you think about it, but, and the thing about if you stay in the word of God and chew and just digest every bit of, I mean, like the word, and, you know, it's really making it a part of you. You can understand how people can, okay, I see this a lot, like people will say things just because they heard somebody else say it or another minister say it, and they'll think, wow, you know, but, and they'll think because they're repeating it and they're saying the right thing that it's going to work for them. But I really believe that as you grow in the Lord and you make the word part of you and take of that divine nature, because you're partaking of the divine nature when you are in communication and you're like eating the word, you know. He said, my words are spirit and they are life, you know. So it's like his, and Jesus is the bread of life, you know. So it's like as you're kind of tuning yourself into him, he develops you. And it's the grace of God. It really is a grace of God that you're able to do that. And I believe that he puts the desire to grow in your heart, you know. But I think the more that you go after him, the more he blesses you to walk in wisdom and, you know what to do in those situations. And that can be different a whole lot. Like, but another thing I was going to say is in John 17, where Jesus is praying to the Father, he's talking about, I sanctify myself. There's one scripture in there that says, I sanctify myself. And I think it's somewhere around 17, verse 17. Yes. And it says, sanctify them through the truth. And I think that they may be sanctified also. And the thing is, we all, man, we all love like the glory and the moving and the power and that stuff. But sanctification sometimes is one of those things that we're like, wow, you know, we ain't so happy about going through, because it takes dedication and concentration and discipline on our part, you know. And I really believe that if you get committed in those areas, that, you know, you're just more likely to not sin as far as like being mean or rude and stuff like that to people. But there's a great responsibility on our part in that. But he also says that, I pray that they may be one as you and I are one, you know. And the more that we do our part in him, I mean, because I really believe that faith without works is dead, you know. And you're gonna act on the word, and you're it's going to bring results because the Word of God is absolutely the truth and He honors it. And we're believers, and the more that we make that a part of us, the more that we're showing His glory. And John 15, it talks about like him being the vine and you bearing the fruit, you know, that you produce much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, so like your fruit comes from remaining in Him and abiding in Him and just really making His presence a constant thing in your life. And I mean, you can get caught up on the, oh, I got to do this every day, every time. I believe God does honor a lot of the systematic things and a lot of systematic stuff in theology, and just your walk comes due to a discipline that you've developed that you want to grow in Him, you know, and those things are good. But, you know, we shouldn't be so, you know, if it doesn't happen, you're just going to, like, fly off the deep end or whatever. You know,
yeah.
I mean, there still needs to be a grace there and stuff. But it's amazing to me to see how God can use certain things in certain people's lives and cause them to propel and, like, go forward greatly in them. But then in other people's lives, it may be absolutely different, like more on the spiritual end and aspect, and God's still using them and He's still going forward and He's still propelling in their lives. So that's one of those things that you got to come to find the balance in your life and what works for you. But I can promise you, it's always going to involve like digging into the Word, spending time with Him, praying, like you were saying, and getting to that point where you're praying in tongues. I really love that because it opens so many doors for you where you don't know how to pray, but you just start, you know, you get this thing kind of heavy in your heart and you start praying into it. Well, as you pray in the Spirit in tongues, like your mind's unfruitful of it. But as you begin to pray, like things will come to you and revelation will come to you. And even if it don't, you know you're praying the perfect will of God because the Spirit of God is praying through you. But another thing I was going to say is the fact that you can have a very vibrant and strong spiritual man and never even experience that gift of praying in tongues. You know, and I mean, as far as I know, Billy Graham, I've never seen him speak in tongues. He's probably one of the most influential revivalists in the world in his time,
yeah.
You know, and I mean, he's still doing effective things.
He was the type of guy that he came up in a time in time where you didn't pray in tongues out loud. It was more to those folks is like more, it's kind of more improper, but it's proper in the Christian walk. But to the church at that time, it was kind of threw to the side. I heard a lot of things about Billy Graham. He did have some spiritual gifts, and I know that he fell into the glory of God and got drunken in the Spirit. I mean, God would come upon him so strong at times that he would get drunk in the Spirit. I have heard that. But there was things that we didn't know about that he fell into, and he would tell, you know, other Christians and other people around him about what was going on with him, which was pretty interesting. But as I was talking a while ago about that Daniel Bryant coming on the show and talking about just spending time with the Holy Spirit and just talking to the Lord, and that's one of the things, you know, just spend some time with Him, talk to Him. If you're going down the road, and I, you know, just speak to Him, act like He's right next to you and just start talking to Him and stuff. And I know with my own walk, I've been doing that ever since I was a child. I just talk to the Lord. And That helps build up your relationship, and after a while, he starts talking back in many different ways, and I guess it's just, he just wants to see if you're going to keep on doing that, but he will. I mean, he listens to everything you do, and he actually surprises me sometimes with some of the things, like when I'm down the dumps, and, you know, I'm saying things, oh, Lord, you probably ain't listening to me. And all of a sudden, my hands start shaking like, yeah, I'm listening to you. I know exactly what you're talking about. Don't worry, I'm here. And then he can't see, he comes back and lets you know that you're an idiot. I am listening to you. So don't worry, I am listening to every word you're saying. And I know that the Lord is always listening to you, no matter what you're saying, anything you're saying, he's listening to you. And as any father is, he disciplines his kids. And he will discipline you. If you're falling short, he will discipline you. And not that he don't love you, that he does love you. And it's just many different things in a walk out of a Christian. But I do know, you know, when you're building your spirit, one of the best things to do is stay in relationship with him, like we're saying, praying in tongues. Also singing some worship music. Just find a song that you really love, a gospel song. I don't know what type of Christian song it is. If it really touches your soul, you know, sing it. Spend some time just praising the Lord. Praising is the biggest thing. I mean, I can't tell you how many times that I've been to a praise and worship service, and all of a sudden the presence of God is like, wham, just comes in there. He loves praising. When you praise the Lord, he pours out his glory, and it comes upon people. And I saw people get healed during, you know, times like that. So do, you know, spend time by yourself. I mean, if you're riding in the car, you know, put some praise and worship music on. That helps build your spirit too. There's just so many different things there that can help you build your spirit, man. One of the key things, pray in tongues, spend time with the Lord in prayer, praise and worship, sing to the Lord, sing to a part.
Hey, listen,
go ahead, man.
Listen to this scripture. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified in this, that you bear much fruit. You know, so that's amazing scripture right there. That shows you the importance of the Word of God. You know, because you think about this, if you're out there and you're not grown up spiritually, you know, and you're moved and maneuvered by just like your soul and emotions and stuff like that, if you're bounced around by how somebody treats you or your boss or something like that, you know, that can be showing that you're walking more by the flesh and the soulish emotional realm than you are the spiritual man, you know. And the more you get in the Word and you just meditate and roll the Word over in your head, it's really digesting like the Word of God, and it's causing your spirit man to grow. And really, if you understand that, you can see how people can pray and be so effective because they're growing and maturing into the Lord. And it shows you how Peter came to the point where his shadow would heal people because of the fact that he walked in God to the point that he knew who he was and he knew who God was in him. And it's not that he's better than anybody. It's just he grew in the Lord. And, you know, I'm like, I really believe that the written word has a major place as far as growth and development, and also the spirit too, but in that communication. But it's a good merging of the two, you know, and the just obedience has everything to do with it. It's like when you start getting those promptings, and if you'll move on them in obedience, God will show you whether you're right or wrong, or that was really him. And sometimes that's a little bit, you know, you just got to take the risk to find out, is this God, you know. If it's not, you'll know it, you know, but when it is, you'll know it too, because he so confirms these things. It's just amazing. It's amazing.
What's so awesome, Mary, is back when Paul was walking the earth, the New Testament wasn't really existed yet. It was basically stories. It wasn't written down completely yet. And they was just walking around and telling stories about Christ, what they witnessed, what they saw. And they passed stories from person to person. And that's how the gospel got out, was stories and hanging around with the apostles, and they just went by stories. It wasn't nothing that they really read. All the thing they had was the basic the Jewish, you know, the scrolls from the Jews, you know, is basically all they had, and just the story of Jesus and his walk. So basically, they would just talk about stories about Christ and what he did, and then they would worship. That's basically what they did. And they didn't have the scriptures as we have now. They didn't have Second Chronicles and all this stuff that we have in Acts and all that. That was just their life. This is just them walking out and, you know, walking out as a son and daughter in God. That's all they really had to do, just walk it out. And later on, Paul basically put together the whole New Testament. And just by spending some time with Peter, you know, he spent some time with Peter and got to learn Jesus through Peter, his relationship that he had with Christ and walked with him and all of that. And just by that story and just by hanging out and figuring out, you know, the way Jesus was, he learned a lot, and that helped him put together the New Testament. But like I said, back in those days, those believers didn't really have a New Testament. They just had a storyline and knew, and Christ would reveal himself to them. And it's awesome how they worshiped, and they had that deep, very deep belief in Christ. And they really didn't have much to go on, just Jesus, you know, just the story of Jesus. And that's one thing that we're going to understand. The gospel is just the story of Jesus. We don't understand it. We think the gospel, we got to learn every book in the New Testament, and the, you know, it's just the story of Christ, what he did on the cross, what he did in his resurrection. That's the gospel. And that's a whole different show. But anywho, but it's awesome how they went on things like that. And I got some more stuff I'm going to talk about next week about who Jesus really was, what he was. And I know Tommy Combs opened up a whole new can at his speaking last Saturday about who Jesus really was that we don't really recognize. We just, if we read and see how when he started his ministry and all this stuff, it kind of opens doors to who he was and what his life really was. And a lot of times that the scriptures don't speak of it, but if you start seeing how he started his ministry, it starts showing you who he was and what he was in that time. And a lot of times people paint the wrong picture of what Jesus really was. And I think we might do that next week. We'll talk about what Jesus, well, Jesus is the Son of God, but he had a lot of learning he's done and where he was to get to where he was at that time. And it's just unique, and I'm not going to talk a lot about it. I'm going to just hold that till next week. But anyway, it's going to be very amazing to hear that. And go ahead, man.
I just want to say this too, that Romans 8 says there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life has made them free from the law of sin and death. I just wanted to read that too, because the fact that, you know, you're not under the condemnation, you know, there's such a dispensation or grace for you to grow too. And I don't want to give anybody a mindset of, you know, our relationship and our acceptance is by the works that we do, but it is vital important. You know, I just believe that you're going to react, you know, you're going to react and you're going to live, you know, but don't get in the mindset of I have to do this or God doesn't accept me, because that's just not true, you know. And but it does say to be carnally minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So the more that you develop that spirit man and you learn to live from the very depth of the heart, you know, and you're keeping that the movement or the life of the Lord, partaking of his divine nature through the word and through prayer and stuff like that, he's going to keep you rich in him and keep you vibrant in him and keep you encouraged in him. You know, and that's another thing that I just really believe is important, to keep an inflow into your heart and life and keep an outflow, because the more that you bless others, the more he's going to bless you. And I like that scripture that says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap." And if you sow to the flesh, you'll reap destruction. If you sow to the spirit, you'll reap life everlasting. It kind of gives you a good understanding of how important that is, to sow to the spirit and sow to your spiritual man, and sow to the Holy Spirit working in your life, and just honor and give place to him. Because the more you do that, the Word of God promises blessing, it promises prosperity, you know, and if you keep a healthy balance in there, and this I just pray this over everybody right now, is that areas where we are blinded or we don't even know that we're in error, I just pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, Father, just show us those areas so that we can live in you and just walk in harmony with you and alignment with you and what you want to do in our lives. So I just say, bless everybody in Jesus' name in that area. But that's another thing about growing spiritually, is blessing, just blessing people and speaking blessing, you know, and just being a blessing. And if you kind of have that, which that will grow in you anyway, because that's one of the gifts of the Spirit is love. When you're born again, that's the first thing that starts showing up tremendously, because you're removed from the darkness and placed into the light, the kingdom of light, of his dear son. That's how it's worth. But anyway, I could go on and on.
Amen.
About that.
Amen. Amen. That's great, man. But at this time, if anybody has not accepted the Lord, I ask you just to say this prayer with me right quick. Bring you into the family. Just hold out your hand. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I accept you as my Lord and Savior.
I accept you as my Lord and Savior.
I hand all of my sins and trespasses to you.
I give you all my sins and trespass.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I believe that you died on the cross for me.
I believe you died on the cross for me.
And rose on the third day for me.
And rose on the third day for me.
I invite you into my heart for eternity.
I invite you into my heart for eternity.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You just said this prayer, a simple prayer. Lord Jesus, it just came into your heart. Lord, I ask you to come upon them in power. Come upon them in dunamis power and fire, and bring your peace upon them now. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come upon them and baptize them in the Holy Spirit now. Just hold your hands out. Lord Jesus, whoever just said this prayer, just baptize them in the Holy Spirit now. I ask you to fill their bellies with rivers of living water. I ask you just to fill them up now. Just come upon them now. Come upon them now, Holy Spirit. Come upon them now. Come upon them now. Whoever else has already been baptized, just give them a refill. Just give them a refill, Father. In Jesus' name, come upon them in power now. Holy Spirit, fill them up. Fill them up. Fill them up. Fill them up from the bottom of their feet to the top of their head. Just fill them up. Fill them up. Fill them up. Fill them up. Fill our bellies with rivers of living water. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So it is. I want to thank each and every one of y'all, that's listening to us today. I hope you enjoy this show. I hope it's touched you in some way and touched your spirit. And you got to learn about your spirit, man, and how to build it. Which, as we was talking about, singing and praising and praying in the spirit and getting to the Word of God, knowing Christ, and being more valuable.